When you hear the word mother, all kinds of thoughts come to your mind. Someone once wrote out what it was like or how to describe a mother when motherhood was really motherhood. How could you tell? Listen to some of these descriptions. You know that motherhood has truly set in when you offer to cut up other people's food, or when you hide in the bathroom just to be alone. You know that motherhood is truly set in when you hope ketchup is a vegetable because it's the only one your kids will eat. You read that the average 5-year-old asks 492 questions a day, and you feel proud that your child is way above average. You know that motherhood is truly set in when you use your own saliva to clean your child's face. You count the sprinkles on each kid's cupcake to make sure that they're all equal. And you know that motherhood is truly set in when you hear your mother's voice coming out of your mouth. And you know that motherhood is truly set in when you say at least once a day, "I'm not cut out for this job," but you wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. It's amazing what one word will do to the imagination, what one word can bring all kinds of thoughts and actions to bear. We've been sharing one word each day this past week in our daily Bible readings. Once again, if you're participating with us, then you already know this. But if you're not, it's not too late to join us. All you have to do is go to our website, fbclouisville.org, and right there on the front page, you'll see a frame up for daily Bible readings, and you can click on the daily Bible reading of the day. We've been writing out these verses, but we've been focusing this past week on one key word in the passage that we're thinking through, that we're praying through, that we're reading on that particular day. We dealt with the word yes. We dealt with a passage in the scripture that has the word no in it. We also dealt with thanks, saying thanks. We also read a verse where the key word was enough, as well as help, or I'm sorry. And today, our Sunday morning reading that took me a little time to write it out because it was several verses, but it's the word wow. What we want to do this morning in the time that we have is I just want to look at three of those key words that we read this past week. Because those key words, just like the word mother or motherhood, brings out all kinds of thoughts. These key words in these verses this week do the same. And they can change the way we live. So we're going to deal with three. The word is already stated in the passage. All we have to do is focus on it, learn from it, and ask God to bless His word as we live it out in our lives. There is a life-changing word in John chapter 14, verses 8, 9, and 10. And that life-changing word is enough. Let's read it together. John 14, beginning in verse 8. Philip said to them, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works." That key word, enough, right up there at the beginning of the passage, it's spoken by one of the 12 disciples, Philip. You notice what Philip seems to be saying has good motivations. He's saying, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough." That's what we're searching for. We're looking for God. We're trying to find the Creator of all things who created us. We're looking for Him. Show us God, and that will be enough. Sounds good on the surface. And it's a great question. It's a great prayer. But Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. Because you see, what Philip had really been doing is he had been trying to add all these additional things to his understanding of God. We don't know what they were. We can guess. We do the same thing. If we can memorize so many verses of Scripture in the Bible, or if we can pray so many times or so many minutes or hours in a given day, if we can show up for church when we're able to show up for church and gather in the big room and have age-graded ministries for everyone, if we go to more of those than we don't, maybe that helps add up what will be enough. And Jesus simply says, wait a minute, Philip. All you have to do is look to me. I've been with you. I've been teaching. I've been healing. Miracles. You've participated in them. And you don't see the Father? That's not enough. Just knowing me. You see, it seems to me that this key word leads to a thought that we need to give attention to. And that is that sometimes less is more. Maybe you've heard that statement used in different contexts. But when we think about our relationship with God and with Christ, of course, we want it all. We want to experience it all. But many times, maybe we clutter up things. Maybe we add too many things to the equation and we get lost in all the things that we think we need to do, that we've been told we need to do. But yet, simply knowing Jesus is enough. Maybe you know Jake Collier, maybe you don't. Judge Collier. Judge Collier went to heaven on April 22, just a few days ago. Jake was a district judge in our county for many years, and I actually was called to serve on a jury in one of his trials years ago. He was a member of our congregation. Didn't get to come too much in these latter months because of health issues. Many of you knew the judge to be fair-minded, and he was. A believer in Christ, and he was. I had a cell number, and a few days before his death, I sought to get in touch with him. I thought, well, I'll not bother him. I'm not sure where he is. So should I text him? And I decided, no, I'm just going to call him. I'm just going to dial the number and see what happens. And he picked up. He was talking from a hospital bed in a local hospital here in our area. I couldn't understand everything that he said because he was talking through an oxygen mask. But he told me the situation. He said, Stephen, I've had a collapsed lung. I've had these issues and I find myself here in the hospital now. And of course, no one can visit. But I appreciate your call. I said, well, Judge, what can we do? And he said, well, there's really nothing we can do because I've been told that if things progress within the next day or so, I will be put on a ventilator. And my chances of coming out of that ventilator would be 1%. I was dumbstruck. I just held the phone there, didn't say a word, waited for him to continue. And he said, and I'm okay. I'm all right. He'd lived a good life, he said. His wife Diana had preceded him, gone to heaven before him. I'm okay, he said. How can you say that? If you think of all the things that you would need to do or to say or to experience in order to say it's enough, what would they be? What would you have to do? And yet Judge Collier calmly said to me, Stephen, I'm okay. It's enough. And his last words to me on the phone were words of encouragement about our church. You see, Show us the Father and it is enough. If we've seen Jesus, if we trust Jesus, we've seen the Father. And that certainly is enough. You remember that Paul's phrase to describe his relationship with Jesus, it wasn't chapter upon chapter like he does at times. He didn't explain all these great Christian doctrines to sum up what his relationship with Christ was, though he needed to say those things because they're important. But when Paul talks about his relationship to Jesus, it's two words in our language. In Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. In Christ. And nothing can break that bond. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, Romans 8 tells us, which we find in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the key word enough, it tells us what is enough. Well, there's another key verse that we looked at this past week. The life-changing word in Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47 is wow. Let's find it. Acts 2, 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. That's where I pick up on the word wow. A sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I read that passage and I have to just take a breath and say, wow, it's amazing. Acts chapter 2 is just a matter of weeks after the crucifixion and the resurrection. So much unsettledness going on, so much uncertainty. And yet, look what was happening amongst those who trusted Jesus. God was working in that early congregation. And I would say to you that today, this day, God is working wonders in our church, First Baptist of Louisville. It may seem a little strange to say that because you may say, well, Stephen, the parking lot is empty. The doors are closed most every day this week. Very little we seem to be able to do. Very little action is going on. But I would say to you, wait a minute. There are things going on each and every day in the lives of people connected to our church. Yes, it may seem different than in times past. It may not seem as wow as we want it to because we're not gathered together. But God is working some amazing things in the life of our congregation. Did you know that every Tuesday we have about 30 of our folks who pull up to the drive here and they receive a food box that has some basics for some young mothers in our community? They're delivered every week, and we'll continue to do that. We've shared together that our church, in looking out to a lost and dying world, gives generously to missions, but we participate face-to-face with some folks in Guatemala. And though we're not able to be with them physically, and we're not sure exactly when we'll get to go back and see them and love on them again, we're not sure when that will be, but each and every day, our prayers are being answered, and we're sending funds, much needed funds, to this group in Guatemala. Because it's the right thing to do? Yes. But because it's God's working in our lives, and it's producing some wow moments. But we've also got to realize something else. Evil is at work just as much as God is at work. The name Ahmaud Arbery, if you pay attention to the news at all, reminds us that it really doesn't matter what's going on. Racial tension is still here with us. Young men being shot and killed, trying to work through the system of justice. There are so many things that are just flat out evil that confront us. What do we do? Where is our focus? It must be on both. It must be understanding and knowing that God is at work in our lives, and all we can say and respond, the only way we know how to respond is to say, wow, God, in the midst of all this, you still hold us in your hands, but we've got to confront the evil that's around us and carry the word of God and the light of Christ to a world that, as we begin opening up again, whatever and whenever those things happen, that we don't ignore the evil around us and we stand up against it. There's a third and final key word that we've looked at this week. It's the word no. No. The life-changing word. How can the word no change your life, especially change it for the better? Well, we're going to find it in Acts chapter 16. Verses 6 through 10. The setting is Paul and his friends are on some missionary journeys, some excursions. They're planting churches all across Europe. And Paul is trying to seek direction. Where is he supposed to go next? And so Acts chapter 16, picking up in verse 6, tells us how he found the direction that God was leading him, where God was leading him to go. Luke says, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden. There's your idea of no right there. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. There's that idea of no again. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, that could be kind of a confusing passage. Lots of geographical references, cities, areas of the world, of the New Testament world, that are strange to us. I mean, get past Phrygia, Galatian, Mysia, Bithynia, Macedonia. Just put those to the side for right now. The issue was, Paul wanted to go, he wanted to go and spread the gospel to those who'd never heard it. And he was headed in a direction he thought was correct. But God said no. Jesus said no. The Holy Spirit said no. It's very clear. I imagine Paul was just kind of scratching his head, wondering, you know, what am I supposed to do? I mean, the message is clear. We're supposed to go to the ends of the earth. Paul knew all the right things, but every time he sought to go this direction, God said no. And instead, he made a turn and he headed in that direction, if you will. And it was here that God spoke to him in a vision through a man of Macedonia, an area that would encompass a part of Europe that maybe we're familiar with, Greece, Italy, those places and beyond. Paul found his direction. But it brings up to me how we treat prayer and God's answers to our prayers. Think with me for just a moment. We're all over yes. We love yes. When we pray and God answers in the affirmative, by that I mean what we're praying for, he lets come to pass. He's in agreement with us. And everything is great because we love it when God answers prayer in the way we want it to be answered. You can think of I don't know how many times in your life where you've prayed and God has said yes. And hopefully you've thanked him for that. That's another key word this week. Hopefully you've stood in awe and said, wow, God, thank you for answering yes. But we tolerate wait. When the answer is not yes, And not specifically no, but it's wait. Drives us crazy, doesn't it? Waiting. God, why can't you give me an answer now? Why can't you say yes now? We tolerate wait. And most of us, what we do is we just kind of rearrange things in our mind or the circumstances around us where we turn a wait into a yes, if we're honest. There was a time in my life when I felt just this way. I don't remember all the specifics. I remember it was before we came here years ago. And where I was in life, in the church I was serving, the family, we were raising kids, and I was just frustrated, just unsettled. Didn't know where to turn. And it was so every time I prayed, what I thought would be a yes turned out to be wait. And I didn't like it. I was frustrated in the midst of it. And I almost made some decisions that could have altered lots of things in our lives. But I had a visit with, guess who? My mother and my dad. Because mother and daddo is what I call them. They loved me, loved our family, of course, wanted the best for us. And I remember a conversation I had with my parents that settled my nerves, that gave me peace and contentment until the answer came. Folks, when God says, wait, don't press it. He knows what's best. Well, and then, of course, we absolutely reject no. I mean, we love yes, we tolerate wait, but when it comes right down to it, we just reject when God says no. I know, we get a bum rap. I'm talking about as church people, especially as Baptists, we're always condemned and made fun of because we're, you know, we're always focusing on the thou shalt nots and what you can't do. And we're very seldom positive about things. I've heard those things years and years. And frankly, I'm very frustrated with it. I get tired of it. I don't hear it anymore. Because the simple fact of the matter is, when God says no, there's a reason. You take those Ten Commandments. When God says, do not murder, is he trying to punish us? No, he's trying to protect us. When he says, be faithful in your relationships, especially in marriage, is he trying to make us unhappy? No, he's trying to protect us. He's trying to help us to have the families that we're intended to have. When God says no, it's for a reason. And in this case, when God said no to Paul, it was because he had a yes in mind. And it was a mission field that would literally change the course of history. When God says no, it's for our best. Now, there's one other thing here as we wrap up. I don't know if you noticed it. You have to read carefully. Maybe as you're writing it out, if you hadn't yet, as you're writing it out, you'll sense this. But beginning in verse 6, Luke's writing in the third person. Third person means he's talking about them, talking about Paul. He's not part of it. He's writing, he's recording the history. He said they passed through the Galatian region. They were trying to go into Bithynia. They came to Troas. Everything's in the third person. Luke, the writer of Acts, is telling the story as an outsider. But notice what happened in verse 10. When the man of Macedonia came to Paul, and Paul said, yes, I'll come help you. It says, when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. He moves from third person, a bystander, to first person. He's part of it. He's involved. He's part of the team. I think that is monumental. Matter of fact, I think that's a wow moment in Scripture. Because you see, it's no longer your church, but it's our church. It's my church. It's no longer you serve, but it's I want to serve. I will serve. Something happened in Luke's mind. I know what it is. We know what it is. It's God's Spirit speaking to him. But Luke all of a sudden went from, I'll record the facts. I'll make sure that the record is clear. No, I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be on this mission. I'm going to be a part of the team. And look what a difference it made in our understanding of God, His Scripture. So folks, those key words, they're important. We've looked at three, and I would hope that you would start here, and there may be other things about the word enough, or the word wow, or the word no, that come to your mind. Talk about them in these days. Because God knows what's best. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word, that it's clear. We're thankful that we can hold it in our hands, the Bible, and that we can write it out, that we can live it out. And Father, I pray that's what we continue to do. In these days of uncertainty, there are many, many things to be certain about. In these days of searching for what's enough, help us to know that you're enough, that all we need to do is love Jesus, and the rest will fall into place. To celebrate the wow moments, to always stand against that which is evil, and to understand that yes and wait and no are all part of our prayer lives. Help us to embrace those words and to allow you to lead us. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we offer these prayers today. Amen.